Revelation chapter 16. I leave with you tonight, verse 15. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. There are two parts to this word. The first part is the behold. And then there is the second part, the beatitude, which is what we come to tonight. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. There are two things. There is, first of all, a duty that is implied to watch and to keep your garments. And then there's a danger. The danger that you lose your garments, that you become exposed. The duty, the danger. We want to reverse the order, and we want to start with the second point tonight, with the danger. And the danger is described in the words, lest he walk naked, and they see his shame. You see, the Lord is coming. But he's coming as a thief. That is, he's coming suddenly. He's coming unexpectedly. And that is going to catch the world out. They're going to be shocked and surprised by the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ. But also for the child of God, the time is unknown. And the Lord is coming suddenly. And there is that the danger that the Lord's coming will even catch out his people. And they will be exposed. They'll be embarrassed. So the Lord is warning his people here, isn't he? Blessed are they that watch and keep their garments, in order that they may be blessed at his return. In order that they will not be embarrassed or ashamed, the Lord gives them warning. In the form of a beatitude. You'll be blessed if you're awake. You won't be blessed if you're asleep. The Bible warns us about the danger of being ashamed. The danger of being embarrassed at the Lord's coming. You remember John said, little children, you have to abide in the Lord. You have to continue in him faithful. You have to maintain your communion with the Lord so that whenever he shall appear, we shall have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. You know what it's like to feel embarrassed and ashamed. The Bible warns us about the danger of being embarrassed and ashamed whenever the Lord appears and we can't look him in the face and we have to hang our heads in shame. That would be unspeakably awful, wouldn't it? Not being able to look him in the eye and to be feeling terribly embarrassed that he came at that time when I was cold in heart and when I was prayerless and careless, humiliated, disgrace. And it's that which the Lord is warning us against. You see, the Christian should not be found like that, but should want to be blessed and happy, to have the beatitude experience and not the shame, the sense of shame and embarrassment. And in order to that, the Lord gives the warning in the midst of the sixth bowl as the end draws near. Now, you know that it's given in love and kindness, this warning, and that's why it's in the form of a beatitude. The Lord isn't taking the stick out and, you know, beating us. He's giving a blessing. He's trying to encourage us. He's lovingly exhorting us by means of a wonderful, gracious blessing promised. So he is encouraging the saints to persevere. He's encouraging the believers to be faithful. Now, the verse, you know, is not about literal physical nakedness. It talks about nakedness in the text in the verse 15, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. The Lord's talking spiritually. But behind that, of course, is the image of literal nakedness. Nakedness is a shameful thing. I mean, that's implied in the text. Everybody knows that nakedness is unseemly and sinful and wrong. And all right people, right-thinking people, they know that and they sense this. That it's sinful to be exposed, to be dressless, to have no clothes upon you, to be even immodestly dressed is something that we should be ashamed about. Immodest dressing as well as nakedness is shameful and sinful and wrong, and no one wants to be caught that way. And so that's, of course, I don't have to tell the Christian. Not all Christians know this. Clothes are of God, and they're proper. The first clothes were made by God himself. Clothed Adam and Eve. He made them coats of skin. Clothed them. Covered their shame. It's wrong now in a fallen world to continue in that way. Before the fall, there was a glory that covered our humanity. There was a glory that veiled us, a brightness. That went when sin came. And now we have to cover ourselves. And rightly so. Remember whenever Moses came down from the mount and he heard the singing and the dancing, and obviously there was drinking, and nakedness is often associated with dancing and drunkenness. And Moses came down from the mount and he saw that the people were naked, and he was cross that Aaron had made them naked and a laughingstock and a shame in the midst of their enemies, who were watching them and gathering intelligence on their strength. And here and behold, they're making a display of shame in the midst of their enemies. And Moses was cross, and rightly so. The Bible says, "Woe unto him that gives his neighbor drink and puts bottle to him so as to make him drunken, and then has that freedom to look on his nakedness in that drunken estate." So drunkenness and nakedness go together, and they're shameful. Shameful. But this is not about literal nakedness. You know that. This is about spiritual and moral nakedness. This verse is about the believer's life and conduct, about his behavior and being exposed before the Lord, because the life is not right, or the behavior is wrong, or something like that. Now, of course, we have to understand there is a differentiation, because in a sense, we are all naked, aren't we? All mankind's naked. Whenever we come to stand before God, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and there's none has a covering and a righteousness of their own, and we all stand exposed before God's broken law. But as Christians who have fled to the Lord Jesus Christ, we have received salvation. And in the Bible, salvation is pictured as a covering, as a garment. We have the garments of salvation that cover our spiritual nakedness, the righteousness of Christ that enclothes us and robes us, the imputed righteousness of Christ. And of course, that garment can't be lost. The garment of justification, the garment of the righteousness of Christ, because as many as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ, and that can't be reversed. And whom God clothes and covers with the garments of salvation, he has covenanted that it will be throughout all eternity as an everlasting covenant. And if he's in Christ, that can't be lost. The child of God can say, "I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in God, for he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness." Remember, the prodigal came home. What did the father get? He got the best robe, didn't he? And he covered his son. He clothed him and he put shoes on his feet as well, and give him a covenantal ring on his finger. The righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. And so as Christians, we have union to Christ, and we have that garment of salvation, which through grace we can never lose. So we're not in danger of losing that. No child of God is in danger of losing his salvation. We believe that is the teaching of Scripture. First thing that sinners need is to be washed and to be enrobed in the garments of salvation. And this is through Christ alone and through faith in him and through union to Jesus. We can't make our own garments of salvation, but we can cast away our filthy rags and we can betake ourselves to the righteousness of Jesus Christ to clothe us and to cover us. And that garment, don't misunderstand me when we preach tonight, that garment cannot be lost. That's clear enough. But these garments are not the garments of salvation. These are the garments of our visible confession. These are things that can be seen, or the absence of them can be missed, so that a Christian is exposed. Angels and men, you see, cannot see the garment of justification. That's invisible. That's something that's only visible to the eyes of God, the garments of justification, enclosing and enfolding the Christian. And we see it by faith, but it's not a visible thing. Not even the angels can see it. Christians can't see it, only God. We can only see conduct. We can only see works. And the angels are the same. They can't see that you're covered with the justification, righteousness of Christ. You profess it. They trust that you have it by your confession and faith. But they look at your life. They look at your works. As others look at our works, that's the visible part. The evidence that we're saved and belong to the Lord. So these garments are visible, they're seen, and if they're not present, they're missed, and it's known they're not present, and the believer, his testimony is gone, and his profession has been shamed by his misdeeds or by his being ungracious in his behavior. So we're talking about something that can be seen by men and angels. You have that in the text. Lest he walk naked and they see his shame. This can be seen. This can be seen by men. This can be seen by angels. So we're talking about something that's visible. Whenever Christians fall into open sin, that's when they walk naked and their shame is seen. Becomes visible. You remember David and Bathsheba. David's salvation was not in jeopardy. His testimony wasn't very good. He was exposed. It took a while to be seen, but it soon became visible. He was able to conceal it for a while, but when the word came and the light came and it was exposed, the shame was seen by all. Peter's denial was seen. It was heard. Became known, and he was ashamed. And John Mark, whenever he left the mission and went back, it was visible, it was something seen, and he became ashamed later on. And professing Christians are watched by men, and they're watched by angels. And men and angels see if we're living unholy lives. If a believer falls into open sin, men see it. Angels see it. It's seen. It's walking naked. And so walking naked is walking in shame, walking in sin, walking in a way that's wrong. So there's not only the danger of public sin, there's also the even greater danger of private, secret sin. And I think that this verse has especially reference to that. Secret sins, sins that are not public, not visible out in the public arena. shameful things that are privately, perhaps, indulged. You see, then the covering has to go for you to feel the shame. You don't feel the shame until the covering goes and people see it, and then you feel the shame. And the sin in private or the sin in the home can be concealed from the church and from others because there's no exposure. There's no sense of shame. But when the coverings go, there's shame. And that's what the coming of Christ does. It comes like a thief. And all those coverings go. And the life of the believer is made manifest before him. And before all too in the judgment day. Seen. They see his shame then. They see that his walking in nakedness then. It's been uncovered by the advent of Christ, by the appearing. And that will be a shock to many. And that's the danger of being exposed at the coming of Christ, the danger of being ashamed. We read the story of the foolish virgins. They were caught out. They were shamefully exposed. They weren't ready. They had to suffer the embarrassment of being out in the street and knocking on the door and everybody watching them and everybody hearing them and everybody seeing that they were just shut out. They were ashamed. They were embarrassed. And that's what it'll be like when the Lord comes as a thief in the night. And if the Christians have not been watchful and vigilant, they'll be exposed, humiliated. You see, the coming of Christ is the judgment day, isn't it? That's when all the secrets come out. Paul says, judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who will bring to light the hidden things of darkness. You see, he'll steal away the coverings as a thief. The reality will be seen then. And God will make manifest the counsels of the hearts. Every man's work shall be made manifest, he says. For the day, that's the coming of the Lord, the day of the Lord, the day will declare it. When the Lord comes as a thief, he'll declare it. It'll be revealed by the fire. And the fire shall try every man's work. Be tried by fire of what sort it is. You see, we're judged by works. We're not saved by works, don't misunderstand me. But we're all judged by works. According to your works, the Bible says. God shall bring every work into judgment, the Bible says. Every work. With every secret thing. Whether it be good or whether it be bad. This is what the Bible teaches. There's nothing covered, the Lord Jesus Christ said, that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. Whatsoever you have spoken in the darkness shall be heard in the light. What an exposure that will be. What an embarrassment that will be. In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ, according to my gospel. And the books were opened, and every man was judged according to his works. It's frightening, isn't it? It's all very solemn, really. And how awful to be ashamed before the Lord. Which is why we have to keep very short accounts and be always confessing our sins and always humbling ourselves before the Lord, allowing nothing to be missed, nothing to let go past as trivial. Many will be saved, of course, some by the skin of their teeth, an entrance into glory still perhaps, but hardly an abundant entrance if there's much shame. If we've been caught out, if we haven't been watchful and vigilant and close to God, depending on his grace and his Holy Spirit. And what a terrible embarrassment it will be for a true Christian to feel ashamed and disgraced before the Lord and men and the angels. That's the danger, you see. That's what the Lord would spur his people from. In the midst of the judgments upon the earth, reminding the church to continue to be vigilant to the end. So the danger. The duty is to avoid that unhappy situation by vigilance. And so the text says, blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. And so the only way to be delivered from the shamefacedness is to be watchful and vigilant. You see, the Lord is coming, and he can come at any time, and you just can't let your guard down. This is what the Lord teaches us. There are some who think there's a picture behind this image, that the Lord is drawing attention to some practice amongst men, and he's transferring it to the spiritual realm. There are those who think that behind this is a picture of police guards who fall asleep. All societies have to have night guards. Even still, we have night guards. And it was the same in ancient time as well. Places had to be guarded at night, the city walls, the homes, the fortresses. One of the places in Jerusalem that had to be guarded at night was the temple. The temple platform was a vast place with plenty of buildings and plenty of materials and plenty of expensive things about. And there was a special group of priests who were set apart to guard it at night, the temple police. Very often, whenever guards are guarding something, nothing happens at night. Thieves don't come. And the danger is that you become complacent and you become careless. And maybe you say, well, I can sleep tonight, I can be careless tonight. Nothing ever happens. No thieves are coming. They've never come yet. They'll hardly come tonight. And so I can sleep, I can be careless. That's the danger, isn't it? And of course, night work is very difficult because it's a time when people are sleepy and they normally sleep. And so it's very hard to keep awake at night. And it requires great discipline. The danger is that the police, guards in the temple or wherever, they fall asleep. And that's a very serious thing, isn't it? It always has been a serious thing in human society to fall asleep on your watch. And it's been known that if anything happens on your watch and you've been asleep, you could well be executed. It could be a death penalty for falling asleep on your watch. And that was so in the armed forces and in the Roman army. If you fell asleep on your watch, you could be executed. But of course, you don't always get caught out because thieves don't come. And so what happens? Authorities, they go around and check. The people who employ you to be security guards, they come down again and check. They'll come like a thief themselves in the night to check that you're awake. And that would have happened in the temple. There had been an eye on the police occasionally, randomly, to check that they're awake. And it is said concerning the temple police that if a priest was caught asleep on his watch, it is said that he was stripped of his garments. Now, not totally, he probably was allowed to keep his undergarments, but he was stripped of his garments and they were set on fire. They were burned like in a judgment. And the man had to go home naked. He had to walk naked. And everybody would see him coming out of the temple. He said, well, why is a priest walking naked? Why is he in his white undergarments? Why is he not wearing his robes? Because he hasn't been watchful. He hasn't been vigilant. He's a disgrace to the temple. He's a disgrace to the people of God. He fell asleep when he should have been watching for the church and watching for the people of God and watching for the congregation and watching for himself. And so he has to walk the whole way home naked. Everybody sees it. To his shame. They see his shame. And I think that could well be the picture behind this. It might not mean death. The priest wasn't executed. But he was exposed. He wasn't rewarded. He was disgraced. And so that's possibly the image behind this. And what can we say of Christians who are in the army of the Lord and are guardians of the gospel and who are watching and waiting for Jesus Christ? And who are to be awake in a dark world for him? Those who are in the church of Jesus Christ. You see, the world is a dark world. And men in darkness are asleep. And they sleep the sleep of death. The world doesn't watch. The worldlings sleep. And they sleep the sleep of death. They're utterly careless. They don't keep their souls. They don't keep their hearts. They don't watch for eternity. They're dead in sin. And the danger is that the church somehow become like that. The words here, the language here is very like the language that the Lord used when he was addressing the church at Sardis. You remember we saw that in Revelation chapter 3. Unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, I know thy works, but thou hast a name that thou livest, and are dead. You just have a name, you're really dead. You're not awake at all. You're like dead men, though you profess to be alive. Be watchful. Strengthen the things that remain that are ready to die. I have not found your works perfect before God. Remember, therefore, how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, if you won't watch, if you still refuse to watch, if you won't give heed to my word still, if you won't awaken and continue to watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come unto thee. That's the danger. The Lord coming on to his people as a thief. They haven't been watching. So the language is the same as was used by the Lord in Sardis. And this isn't new language that he just commenced in the book of the Revelation. It was language that has been used by the Lord whenever he was amongst his apostles, before he died and before he ascended. Whenever he commanded his apostles and give to them the teaching that they were to pass on to the church. He said to them, watch ye therefore. Matthew 24, verse 42. For ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. You have to watch. Know this, that the good man of the house, if he had known and what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Matthew 25, verse 13, we read tonight, watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. You have to watch because you don't know the hour. And that's exactly what the Lord is saying here. I'll come as a thief. You don't know the hour. You'll have to watch. You have to stay awake. Here's another beatitude by the Lord Jesus in this area, and blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. And then he goes on to say, verily I say unto you, that he shall gird himself and make them to sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Those who have been faithful, those who have been alert and vigilant in the darkest times of the world's existence, in the church, faithful for God, and when the Lord comes back again and finds that they have been diligent and vigilant,
He'll gird himself. He'll come and serve them. He'll come and give them a meal. And all the angels will be watching. And all the other people of God will be watching. They'll be so rewarded. It'll be so visible. Well done, good and faithful servants. Of course, the absence of that would be so visible as well, wouldn't it? The shamefulness that the Lord didn't serve us. That he didn't bring us, as it were, that blessedness. So let no man take your crown. Don't lose your reward by a lack of vigilance. And so you notice the reason what the Lord puts on the watchfulness. He's coming as a thief. The fact of his appearing. Now there are many reasons to be watchful. And sometimes the Lord emphasized those. I mean, Satan's subtlety. You have to be watchful because Satan's subtle. You have to be watchful because it's a dangerous, dark world. And you have to be watchful because you have a bad heart. And it's so natural for you just to doze off in spiritual things. But the real reason that the Lord hammers home to his people as if it has weight is, I'm coming as a thief. You're going to have to look me in the face. You're going to have to look me in the eye in that day. And you don't want to be ashamed. That seemed to be the overriding emphasis of Jesus to his people. Oh, don't be naked before me when I come. You see, as Christians, we ought to believe the Lord's coming, don't we? It ought to be real to us. Very real, very sure, very certain. You ought to know these things. Now we can understand the unbeliever being asleep. In the sense, they have an excuse. More excuse than us type of thing. They don't see, they don't believe, they don't have understanding, they don't believe the Lord's coming back again. They make no profession. They have no faith. But saints, you see, have no excuse. They have faith. They have knowledge of these things. They have the word. They're in the light. They're in the light of the word. Saints know. And they know they shouldn't sleep. And they know they should be vigilant. And they know that they're going to appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And we have no excuse. Paul, he said the very same thing. He gives the very same reasons why we should be watchful as the Lord. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 2, he says, you know perfectly that the day of the Lord comes as a thief in the night. So here's this emphasis again, you see. He's coming as a thief in the night. The danger of losing things, the danger of being exposed, the danger of being caught out. You know perfectly well that's how the Lord's going to come. Whenever they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them. That's the world. They're in darkness. They don't know any better. But then he goes on to say, but you, brethren, you're not in darkness. You're in the light. You should know. You're in the light so that that day should not overtake you the way it overtakes the world. You're not in the night, but you're in the day. You're the children of light. You're the children of the day. We are not of the night. We are not of the darkness. And therefore, there is no excuse when a Christian sleeps spiritually. You're the children of light. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. So Paul, he uses the very same language, the very same logic. Watch. Watch our hearts. Watch our devotion to God. Keep your heart with all diligence, the Bible says. Watch for the arising of sin and confess it and squash it. Watch your faith, that it is strong. Watch your theology, that it is biblical and sound. Watch your thoughts. Watch your words. Watch your lives. Watch our deeds and actions. Watch the testimony. Watch the armor of God that you wear it. Watch in prayer. Watch in soberness. Watch that you fear God at all times. Watch that you use the means of grace. Watch that you be under the ministry of the word, so that you may hear the constant call of the Lord to be vigilant and awake. Watch that your heart be stirred up. Watch that your conscience be tender. Watch that you be kind and thoughtful. Blessed is he that watcheth. And this is the blessedness of it. Not being embarrassed at his appearing. And to hear the well done, good and faithful servant.